Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends, and welcome to a new episode of our radio show, Friends Forum. My name is John McCormick, and I am your host. Just as the talk show name suggests, this is an informal forum for friends to come together and discuss topics and or share random thoughts. Although I will suggest topics at times, everyone is welcome to suggest a topic as well. Most topics are welcomed, but remember, we are on the air, so please keep that in mind. The show tonight will be in a few segments over the next hour. There will be fun commercials, great songs, and some surprises in addition to our discussion. I created this show so friends that may never get a chance to meet in person can at least talk to each other here. It's like the next best thing. We get to put a voice to a face. I just want to say how grateful I am for all my friends I have made online through Facebook and other social networking sites, and I want to thank each one of you for being a friend. Well, it's time now to get the show started, so what you do is you have two options. You can choose to just listen to the show, or you can also call in to join in to the live group conversation and discussion on the air. If you do call in, which I prefer, you will hear the show through your phone. The listener dial-in number is 646-478-3380. That's 646-478-3380. Or, if needed, call the toll-free number at 1-888-238-8575. That's 1-888-238-8575. So please call now to be connected. Thank you in advance for listening to the show, and to anyone that may call in. Again, please call in now.
Well, like I mentioned, I just wanted to say again how grateful I am to my friends, and I look forward to hopefully speaking to some of you tonight. And I do see that we do have our first caller, and who's calling in tonight?
John, it's Scott again.
Hey, Scott. Nice to have you back.
Well,
how are you?
I'm fine. It was so much fun last week. I thought, well, I'm not going to miss it tonight.
Oh, great. Well, I enjoyed having you on. You know, it was a lot of fun. And how has things been for you? How was your holiday, your Christmas?
Oh, it was very nice. It was nice and quiet. We had brunch at a friend's house at 10 o'clock on Christmas morning. And after about 50 people showed up, I ate and ran and came home and relaxed the rest of the day. It was great.
Oh, it does sound great, yeah. I had a kind of a quiet day. My best friend, who I normally spend it with, he had to work that day, but he wasn't complaining. I think he gets like double time or something. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but we had our dinner and everything on Christmas Eve, so it was very nice. You know, he's a very good cook. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, that's the way to do it. As we get older, and if you have no children, you know, it's just better to keep it very low key and with as little stress as possible. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I used to go home to visit my family in Ohio during the holidays, but I haven't been able to get back there lately. I've been pretty busy with things, it seems like, every year. So I'm going to try to make a trip there. I have a trip scheduled for next month, but I'm not sure. I may have to reschedule it. But what's really nice is sometimes they'll leave the tree up for me. I think I mentioned that last week.
They'll leave
the tree up, and then we'll have a big Thanksgiving dinner along with Christmas. And, you know, so it's kind of nice.
Exactly, you know. Exactly. Well, that's, you know, what my friends and I, you know, decided a few years back is that when we would get together every year, we were all stressed out from running around trying to buy presents and all of this for one another. And then all of a sudden we sat down one year and decided, you know, we don't remember what we buy for one another from year to year. I mean, we really have to sit and think about it. So this year, I mean, and every year since, it's been like a celebration. And when we get together, we celebrate the year that we've had together and the coming year and all of the gifts that we give one another throughout the year. And it doesn't cost a cent, and we love it.
Well, you know, I understand that completely, because when I, my friend and I used to, when we started celebrating Christmas together, we used to always buy, you know, all kinds of gifts for each other and stuff. And then now we're lucky if we even get a Christmas card.
Yeah, I know. Well, email makes it so great, and JibJab and all of that
JibJab
online, you know. And then I'll sit down and make a video Christmas card and send that out. And you know, it's just so much easier nowadays. And if it doesn't cost you anything, that's great, too. So
yeah,
that's my philosophy nowadays.
Yeah, I like that. That's what we do, you know, so it's pretty good. I know that a person for sure is going to be calling in. He's a friend of mine. His name is Grant. He called in the first two episodes.
Uh-huh.
He missed it last week. I think he had a problem with his computer, with his phone and stuff. So he's going to try to make it in tonight. So hopefully he'll
good.
Get the call in. Yeah,
good,
yeah.
Good.
And so I'm looking forward to that, too, to get to talk to him again. And I don't know how it is for you out there where you're at as far as the weather, but it has been so cold here, you know, lately.
Well, San Francisco is known for that, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, we've been lucky. Each winter we've had for the last several winters, it's not felt like winter, you know. It's been not that bad. But it's like getting in the 40s. I know some people are thinking, oh, you wimp. 40s is not thin compared to what we have to go through, you know.
Oh, so. Well, true. I mean, it got down to like 52 here in Florida, and we were all shivering in our shoes. But then when I saw the news broadcast of the snow and ice up north, I thought, never mind.
I know. Well, I grew up, like I mentioned last week, too, in Ohio, so I'm used to the I was used to the snow and the cold weather, but now I'm a wimp. I mean, if it gets in the 50s even, I'm freezing to death, you know. So.
Yeah, well, I've been in Florida from Ohio since 1979, and I'm the very same way, so don't feel bad.
I won't feel bad, but I did want to, we're waiting for another caller to call in if anyone decides to. If not, I would love to have you stay, you know, for the whole time if you can.
Oh, well, I'll be here, but I have a feeling more are going to show up. Listen, I wanted to ask you, too, you did make a post that you're going to be discontinuing this show?
No, I'm not going to discontinue it. I worded that incorrectly. What I was saying was that it's possible that I'm going to be, like I mentioned, taking a trip to Ohio, and it just falls, two of the days fall from back-to-back Saturdays, which is when I normally do my
well,
show.
Oh, well, good. Okay. Well, yeah, I misread that then because I thought, wait a minute, he just started this.
Well, then also, too, the following week or the week after that, I'm supposed to take a four-day trip over the weekend again with a friend, so I'm not sure if I'm even taking that trip. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there that I'll keep you guys informed. What I will do is if it's going to go through, which I'm really like about 85% sure that we're going to have a show next week, I will just create an event again on Facebook and invite everybody so you'll know.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, that works. That takes a load off my mind now.
Yeah, great, because I love this show. I love talking to you guys and everything. And I did want to mention, Scott, we have another caller, so I wanted to find out who's calling in.
All righty.
And who's on the line with us? This is John.
Oh, hi. This is Grant. I'm on my cell phone, though, so it's the reception might not be clear. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the phone number came up different, so I didn't know it was you. So how are you doing, Grant?
Oh, good. Yeah. Just, got my laptop finally repaired, so it's something's wrong with the so I'm going to take it back in, but that should be easy to fix, not as long as the screen.
Oh, right. Well, we definitely have been missing you, you know, on Facebook, and we missed you last week here on the show. So we're happy to know that you're coming back and you're back with us. So that's great.
Oh, thank you. What did you guys talk about last week?
We talked about, it was Christmas was coming up, so we talked about our plans for that and just miscellaneous things, you know, that was coming up. But this week I am going back to having some commercials. So I hope you guys like these new ones. they're not going to be retro anymore. They may come back retro, but, I mean, these are a little different. So I hope you like them.
Okay.
I did want to ask you, Grant, did you ever get your tree decorated?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
We finally
Christmas Eve, or
yeah.
I was teasing Grant because Scott's on the line with us too, Grant, just so you know. And he called in last week, so I'm glad that you both are here tonight. Scott, I was teasing him because he had a tree for a week or so and he still had not decorated it yet. So I was just wondering if he finally got it decorated. But I did want to say, you know, we were talking right before you called, Grant, about how cold it's been, you know, lately. And I was just wondering, down there in, you know, Los Angeles, are you guys getting the, like, 40-degree weather like we're getting up here lately?
Yeah, it was pretty cold today. I mean, I have something where it's like when it gets really dry like that, like the cold, my skin starts to crack, so I got to use, like, moisturizer because I really hate that. It looks like my hand feels like a windshield, and it gets all, like, it's really gross, like bloody and stuff, so I got to use lots of.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I do remember when I lived in Ohio, I would get that too. I would get with the cold.
Yeah.
I would get so it would be so dry and the weather, the air, and it would just my hands would literally crack open. I remember that. Yeah. So you get that too.
Lips, you know, I got even with the chapstick because it's just I mean that's. I mean, I could kind of be in like where it's just sweltering, like 130 weather than like below zero. I deal with that.
Yeah. So you said you were going to go to the movies tonight. What are you going to go see?
We're looking at I think I told you that my brother's heading to Australia for last semester in February. So we Valentine's Day or so around that. So I'm just making the most of the time with him till then.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great because I know you guys went to the movies last week too. So that's
excellent.
Well, great. Well, anything else going on with you, Scott, or with Grant? I mean, any plans this weekend, or how about with the holiday coming up? You know, for New Year's Day and New Year's Eve, do you have any plans, either one of you?
I think I just told you that, like, I've been, my grandma's older, and she's gonna move in, but I need somewhere that has like a downstairs bedroom, you know, so that's kind of the trick. Because where I am right now, there's the downstairs bathroom, there's no real bedroom. I was thinking of converting the dining room to one, but that wouldn't do, so I'm just going to, you know, find someone new and, you know, just take care of it from there. Eventually I'll have, like, you know, have to sell the house too, so that's some more work. So it's going to be 2013, yeah.
Well, congratulations on the house. I think that's great. Yeah, and I think that's wonderful, you know, that your grandmother's going to be there and, you know, you're taking care of her. I think that's wonderful. And but you're right, you do want to keep someone that's a little older on the ground floor. I know when I was looking, I'm still looking to buy a house somewhere in the United States, but one of the things they kept telling us, the realtors, is that you really want to have at least maybe a bedroom, at least one bedroom on the ground floor if you have a two-story house, because it makes it a little bit more sellable when if you do want to sell it again. So, you know, especially in Florida. See, that's where I was looking. It was in Florida.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people retire there. So, and Scott, you're from Florida, St. Petersburg, right?
I'm living, in St. Pete, yeah. And let me tell you, when you get to be my age, stairs are not fun. So you do, it's nice to stay on that first floor, let me tell you. I have friends that live in 2- and 3-story houses, and when I go visit, it's just like, I don't know how they do this. You know, especially vacuuming. So, stay low if you can.
Well, I'll tell you.
I was going to tell you too. My little plans for the New Year's are nothing really New Year's. I don't do New Year's anymore. But tomorrow I am driving to Sebring, Florida, and I'm going to meet Kevin Reed for the first time.
Oh, great!
You know
great.
Kevin?
I've heard of his name, but I don't think he's one of my – I don't think he's a mutual friend of ours. I don't think I have him on my
list.
Yeah,
I think he is. Yeah, I think he is. He and his partner are coming up to Sebring to sell some antiques in one of the antique stores there. So he called me and said, "We're not going to be too far from you. Would you like to come over?" And I said, "Sure." So so tomorrow I'm making a little – it's about an hour and a half, two-hour drive – to go over and meet them for lunch. And so I'm really looking forward to that. It'll be my, let's see, I think the first real Facebook friend that I've made face-to-face, that I've met face-to-face. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah,
yeah, that's
I'll
wonderful.
I'll take pictures
yeah.
and post them of what it looks like.
Well, that's what I do. Every time I meet one of my Facebook friends, I always want to get a picture. Now, there is one friend that I've met three times, and we always seem never to get a picture, and that's Enzo Lombard. Who's we have another caller. Who else is calling in?
It's me, honey. I'm glad you're talking about it. I'm glad it's good.
Who's this? Is this
Enzo.
Who?
It's Enzo.
Oh, Enzo, wow, look at that. What's the coincidence of that? Here I am talking about you. And
I'm glad you were saying something good. Some of these bitches just tell you shit and then they da-da-da-da. No, anyway.
But it is true, Enzo. I mean, I met you three times, and you're always busy because I know you were busy after your show two times. You were too busy because you had a lot of people there, and then I know you were going to an appointment when I saw you the last time.
Oh, we were supposed to take a picture?
We have to get a picture together, yeah.
Well, that's so not going to happen, honey. Because I've been looking for my good side for almost 50 years, and I have not found it yet.
But you're in show business. You should be used to having
your good side. Yeah, I know. I should have a good side. That's probably why I'm not further into show business. But yeah, people would take pictures of me after the show, and I would be like, oh, my God. Yeah. You know, it's not out of the can. I know how to hold my head right and all that stuff, but I don't take great pictures without every fucking trick in the book. Well, what
you
are you
know,
guys talking
what...
about? It sounds like real estate. I've only been here a couple minutes.
Oh yeah, no, we've been talking about a few things, we were talking about real estate there. Grant just bought a house, and I'm still looking. And we were just talking about what is good features and what can help it to resell, like having a ground floor bedroom.
Bedroom,
you know,
that was where I came in. Who's on? Period, or would I know them? Or
yeah. Well, you know Grant, right? Grant. You know, I go to shop him all the time. Yeah.
Oh, talk, Grant. What were you saying? Grant?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Were you talking before? I don't remember hearing your voice.
Yeah, I don't know what we were talking about.
Okay. Well, hi, Grant.
Hi.
That's like a famous person that you've only seen, you know, you've only read their books, and now you're, like, hearing them talk.
Yeah, I've seen your videos, so I kind of know what you've seen. You know, I heard him too on videos. I won't
say which
videos.
Well, Enzo, we also have Scott on the line too. Scott's a great friend of mine. So
Scott, what's his last name? Is he friends with me?
Hey, Scott, introduce yourself.
Yes.
I just know him as Scotty Poo.
Scotty Poo, right.
Oh, okay. Scott, are we friends?
Yes, we are.
What's your name on the Facebook? Because it's not just Scott. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, it's initial J, Scott Mills, M-I-L-L-S.
Okay.
And that comes from my old theater days, too.
Okay.
In the programs, they used to list me as John Mills, and I don't go by John. Nobody knows me as John. So I said, well, let's do J, Scott Mills. That's sort of like Michael J. Fox, but, you know, a little kilter.
And you're from
classy.
Sebring? Did you say Sebring, Florida?
Oh, no. I'm not from there. I'm going there. No, I live in St. Petersburg now.
Okay. I was going to say, the Florida location, I just don't think we've interacted a lot lately, but I think I've seen your name on stuff.
Oh,
Who else is there was a third person talking that I think wasn't Grant and wasn't John, but no?
Enzo.
Yeah, well, that's me. Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. So I know some people.
I thought
anyway,
you were
go
John.
Go ahead with what you were talking about. Go ahead with what you guys are talking about.
Well, no, I mean, I was just seeing how, if you have any plans, you know, for the holiday coming up for New Year's. Do you have any plans, you and David, Enzo?
Yeah, well, I mean, everything revolves around Mom in the nursing home when we're down here, so that's pretty much what we're doing. We're doing, the New Orleans tradition is ham hocks, black-eyed peas, greens, and cornbread.
Mm.
And I didn't know the symbology about all that till like, yesterday, I think. David was saying the reason black-eyed peas came over from Africa, and during the Civil War, when they kind of looted everyone's property, they left behind black-eyed peas and greens because they thought they were like pig food. They didn't think they were actual food. And so that's what a lot of people had to subsist on. And so it's sort of good luck to do this towards the new year. And then the symbology of black-eyed peas is supposed to symbolize coins, like just little lucky things that happen from day to day. And then greens are supposed to symbolize actual notes, which were like bigger kind of prosperity. And then cornbread symbolizes gold, which is like dreams or, you know, a life beyond what you were thinking about. And then the pig, and this is really interesting because, I mean, probably a lot of you know, like there's a marzipan pig that they give you in like, places like Germany or Scandinavia as good luck for Christmas. But the thing with the pig is that the pig is the only animal that can't turn around, that can't look behind it without turning around completely. So the pig is a symbol of looking forward without looking back. And so that's how the meal ties together. But I was like, I didn't know that. I just thought it was food that made me fat that I loved.
It's so much
deeper than that.
And you know, Enzo loves to eat out, too, because he and I, we almost run into each other all the time here in San Francisco because we like the same restaurants.
Yeah.
So, he'll be right down the street from me, and I'll be at another restaurant, and I'll be thinking, hey, Enzo's just right down the street. Because he posts his food, you know, which I love because I've tried so many restaurants because of him posting the dishes from each one of those restaurants. So I look forward to Enzo's post about that. Yeah. Well, guys, I think it's time for a commercial. I hope you guys like these commercials. I searched for them.
Like you do like period things, don't you? That's cool.
What's that?
Didn't you say you're doing like period commercials or something like that?
Well,
I did
retro commercials for the first three episodes, but tonight I'm doing something a little different.
Okay, cool.
So here's the first one. I think it's kind of funny. So here it is. Just give me a second, and we'll get it started here. I bet actually two that's going to play, one right after the other one. So let me see. The first one will be starting in just a few minutes.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Good.
Do miss my pussy. He can't stay home without mummy, so I send my pussy to Sophisticat in Moorabbin. He gets his own spacious suite and personalized care and grooming, which is important, as he's a rather hairy cat.
Sophisticat. Ask about special rates for new customers. Call 9555-1986 or check out sophisticat.com.au.
Sophisticat. It's not a cattery, it's a pussycat resort.
kind of like those commercials, aren't they funny?
I heard the first one in like 1980 in Britain on the end of a mixtape from America. I have no idea where that came from, and I have been quoting that for like 30 years, and I don't, where did you get that? Because I don't know where that came from.
Well, here's what I found out. I know a lot of people already have known how to do this for years, but I just discovered it was that you can go to YouTube and you can find these commercials, and then you can convert them to an MP3, and that's what I did. So I made it an audio file.
Where did the commercial actually come from? Like, it wasn't a real commercial, was it? Wasn't it like a Saturday Night Live skit or something?
Yeah, it's a spoof. It's a spoof. But if you want me to, Enzo, what I can do is I'm sure I still have a record of where I got it, and I can send it to you.
I guess if I went to YouTube, if that's where you found it, California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea, there can't be a million
that
different
would do
videos
it
for that.
But I was wondering
what the source was, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think it won't come up as that kind of a name. I think it came up as funny radio commercial or something.
Oh,
wow. It came up with a, yeah, it's a completely different name, and I just happened to, you know, click onto it, and it turned out to be this commercial. So I thought, oh, wow,
that
okay
is great. And I was like 14 or 15 when I heard it, and I wasn't in the States anymore. And it's to me, you know, anything like that made me think of Saturday Night Live. That's the only reference point I had for it. But it could have been one of those other shows. But I would love to find out where it came from, because I've had it floating around in my head like most of my life, and I never knew where it came from. But that was so
I'm
funny
definitely
to hear
gonna
it
find out for you if I can, and
okay,
I'll send you the information. I did want to mention just really quickly, if anyone is listening but they haven't called in yet, please do so. The listener dial-in number is 646-478-3380. That's 646-478-3380. Or if needed, you can call the new toll-free number, which is 1-888-238-8575. That's 1-888-238-8575. So please call in now to be connected. All right. So,
hey, John.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
I have to say something here. You know, when we first come on and you give that little spiel about being on the radio, and remember you're on the radio, you just blew it out of the water with California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea commercials. So,
yeah.
I think this is free range now.
Yeah, it really is. Tonight's free range, absolutely, and every night from now on, because what happened was I did set the listing to mature instead of general. Yeah. So But they do have different settings. They even have an explicit setting, you know, but I don't think I'm going to go that far.
So does somebody monitor it and you find out that way, or how does that?
No, as far as I know, there's no moderator. The only way there's a moderator is if I would, like, have a second person, as an administrator who can do that for me.
Right.
But as far as I know, there isn't because as long as you set it on certain levels, then it goes, it comes up that way. So people know what to expect if they're going to listen to a mature radio show.
Okay.
You know?
I'll make sure Mama doesn't call in.
I want Mama to call in.
She'll drum your ass right off the air.
Oh, I love your Mama. I love everything she says. You know, she's really funny. She's just she doesn't hold back, does she?
No, she doesn't.
Well, I think that's probably what really keeps her going, is that she's so she's just so open about everything. I think it's awesome.
What's anybody else doing for New Year's? Because I didn't get to hear. I just got to hear about my food.
Oh, yeah. Well, Scott, what did you say you were going to be doing for New Year's? You're going to do a couple of things, right?
Oh, no. I stay in on New Year's. No, I did all of that. You know, I've had 60 years behind me now. I've done all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, on New Year's, I'm lucky if I can stay and watch the ball drop. I usually get up and watch it on TiVo the next morning, you know?
Right. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, Grant, did you buy a house?
Hey, Grant?
Uh-huh.
Enzo was asking, did you buy your house?
Did you just buy a house?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm actually searching right now, so I'm just, yeah, locally.
Oh, wow. Well, that's kind of cool, I guess, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's great, and I'm going to be maybe next month going to Florida, actually, to Orlando.
So is that where you're looking now? Because I've watched this kind of move around. So you're looking at Orlando. You've been talking about you've talked about Orlando before, though, haven't you?
Right, but I've never actually gone there yet. But
okay.
But I've been doing a lot of research. You know, when I look at the houses, I find out where they're located, and I Google the map and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And check the how close they are to downtown and other major attractions and things like that. And so I feel like it's getting really close to being able to at least go and check out the neighborhoods in person and the houses. But they look really good. The houses look really good, and they're right in my budget. So,
are you looking to leave San Francisco, or is that a second place?
Well, you know, that's very interesting that you asked me that, because I have been thinking about maybe holding on to this apartment and maybe fixing it up in such a way where I can maybe rent out two separate bedrooms, you know, and do it like that. I'm thinking about maybe holding on to it. But I do know there's so many people that I know that told me if I'm ever going to leave San Francisco that they would love to sublease this apartment.
Right.
Because it's in a great neighborhood, and with the rent control for 20 years
right.
living here.
And you've been there 20 years? Yeah.
Will
they allow you to sublet, or do you just
no,
do that?
No, probably not.
Okay. Right.
No, they probably would. No, what I'm saying
if you were careful enough about it, plus it's a two-bedroom, it's not like you wouldn't have a roommate, you know?
Right.
I see.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that the lady who owns the building, she and I have a very good rapport, and she really doesn't care what I do because I've been here 20 years, and, you know, so she doesn't live here. She has her house down in San Bruno, I believe, so she doesn't even come here, so.
Right. I see.
You know.
Well, cool.
So I'm going to keep looking, and good luck to you, Grant, too, you know. So who knows, maybe we'll both find a house at the same time.
Grant, are you looking in, like, some crazy competitive place? Because I sort of think you're sort of L.A., but I don't really know where. I mean, are you in some place where it's, like, I mean, probably most of L.A. is pretty competitive, but are you looking someplace where it's, where you have to, like, make the decision
kind of
right away?
All over.
Oh, you are. Okay, cool.
And Grant, in your occupation, you have a lot of context, I'm sure, that in real estate, right?
Yeah, that's part of why it takes so long. You know, I can't make a decision. I'm just kind of cycling through everything. So I've been thinking about it for months.
Right. Yeah. Well.
And Greg is where?
I'm sorry?
Greg is where? Where is he looking?
You mean Grant?
Oh, Grant. Okay, I thought I heard someone say Greg, and I thought, okay, so there is another person. Okay.
There's Scott, Grant, and Enzo, and me. That's it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you guys all called in. I just really appreciate that, and I'm definitely considering canceling a trip, like I was telling Scott earlier, that I was going to be maybe going out of town, and I was going to put the show on hiatus for a couple of weeks. But I'm pretty sure, 85% sure, I'm going to cancel it. So I'll be here next Saturday for sure. Yeah.
John, let me ask you something.
Yes.
You say you've never been to Orlando, but you're thinking on looking for houses there. Is there a reason Orlando really trips your trigger?
I like that. Well, the thing is that I'm not going to be living by myself. My very best friend and I have decided that we don't want to live in apartment buildings anymore and pay all this rent. So we're going to put everything together, and we're going to get a house. And he's in the hospitality industry, and we did research. And in Orlando, the one industry in Orlando that keeps booming and just doing really well, and the biggest employer, you know, people getting employed, is the hospitality industry.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, that area. I mean, but it is stuck in the middle of the state, and to get to a halfway decent beach, it's like an hour's drive either way, or more. But you're right, you know. But Orlando, I remember Orlando in 1962. My family came down, and we used to spend summers on Daytona Beach. And we picked up a paper one day, and it said, Disney is coming to Florida.
Yeah.
And right then they didn't know where it was going to go, and they finally settled on Orlando. And we drove to Orlando, and it was this sleepy little town with brick streets and ballparks and whatever, and now it is this megatropolis, which is just I don't go to Orlando just for the fact that I can't hardly stand driving through there. It's just bumper-to-bumper traffic all the time.
It is a little bit of a Vegas, which is another place John was looking. I moved there in 1980, which was just my father went down there to do some finishing work on Epcot. And we didn't really understand what it was going to be before they – it sounds just sort of stupid. But it's even changed. I mean, David and I went back there. I think it was like our first year together, and we've been together 14 years. It would have been like 99 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it was so unrecognizable just from 80 to 99. I can't imagine you being there in 62 because it was, you know, that was when it was just orange groves and stuff.
Yeah. It was a funny thing. A bank that I used to bank at in Ohio before I moved down here, when the lady at the bank told me, I told her I was moving to Florida, she told me about her uncle who owned property in Florida, in Central Florida. And she said one day this big black car pulled up to her uncle's orange farm, and they came and knocked on the door, and they offered to buy his property. And so he, you know, he was getting older and everything, so he and his wife talked it over, and they sold their little orange farm. And the piece of property that their house sat on is now where the Cinderella's castle sits.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
And I think they paid him $30,000 for like 40 acres
That's
or something.
It was, how many hands did that pass before the real big money got made? And it
probably
wasn't those people. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Well, I did go to Orlando one time. Oh, go ahead.
No, it was a very weird place to live. We lived in a just totally white trash, but I mean, any fucking shame I had went out the window a long time ago. But we lived in this trailer park that was supposed to be like a Jellystone park with like a big yogi in front of it.
Oh, I know that place.
You know it? It's on Sand Lake Road. That's where I lived. That's where I went to high. That's where I lost my virginity. And not in the trailer, but I had a little more class than that.
At Jellystone Park?
I wouldn't
tell anyone that.
No, I didn't. No, but anyway, it was International Drive, or the original skeleton of International Drive,
right,
which was only like 3 blocks at that time. It's right where, my first job was at Bennigan's Tavern, right on International Drive, next to Wet n' Wild, and now MGM is across the street from that. But I've gone back, and it's like International Drive is like 9 miles long now. And I mean, and even where I live doesn't, you can't even tell that there was ever the park was there. But yeah,
I had a friend. I had a friend one time that lived here. She and her husband drove over there, and they hadn't been in Orlando for years. And she said they drove down International Drive at nighttime, and she said by the time they got to the end of it, she said, you know, they really ought to take the dollar bill and change from In God We Trust to All You Can Eat for a Dollar. She said that's the feeling you get on International Drive.
Yeah. But you know what?
Yeah.
If the thing is work, it's a glut of work, and there is a very low cost of living there.
Oh, well, if he's in the hospitality industry, that is the place you want to be.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And and you all can still come to St. Pete. It's I-4. You can still come over for a visit and go to the beach,
right.
And it's only about an hour and a half away. So
That's not bad. I like being in the center of everything because that way I can go to the ocean or I can go to the golf.
Right. And Daytona is even closer. So
Yeah.
Well, you know where I live now in San Francisco. If I were to drive or even take the bus or whatever, it still takes about 45 minutes to get to the beach. You know, and
do you ever go? I hardly ever go, considering how close we live to the beach.
Yeah, it takes
John,
forever because if
yeah,
you take
you
the bus,
do you go much?
45 minutes.
Do you go much, John? I hardly ever go.
I used to go all the time. Every weekend I would go.
Oh, that's like even a black sand.
Yes, I would take the bus.
About that.
Well, you know, there's only a bus that runs only on Sundays and holidays. It's bus 76, and it takes you over the Golden Gate Bridge to Marin Headlands.
Okay.
And on the way, while you're going to the beach there, Rodeo Beach is where it dead ends, you can get off in the middle of nowhere. No one knows why I get off there. They wonder. But I walk through a field, and if you walk through this field and go up a hill, then you're at the beginning of the trail that goes down to this very private beach. It's called Black Sands Beach. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It looks like Hawaii. It's weird. I've never seen black sand anywhere in the States. But I've only been like once, and it was like a year after I moved to San Francisco, like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it has the, I mean, it's not a big waterfall, it's just a tiny little waterfall, but it even has a waterfall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you do feel like you're in Hawaii, like Enzo mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is with that is that coming back up that hill is a killer, you know? So it's it doesn't get a lot of people unless you know about it. So it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. But I used to go every weekend, and I always went to the beach constantly, and then I kind of got out of the habit of it. But then, too, it hasn't been always warm here in San Francisco anymore. It just seems like it's always cold. Even if it's in the summer cold, it's cold now. So.
Well, and the Pacific is always cold, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, here in Florida, you know, the Gulf side, you can go out in the water, you know, you can wade out a half a mile and you're still up to your chest, and the water is like 85 degrees. It's like you're in a bathtub.
Yeah, it was almost too warm. I mean, after San Francisco, you get a headache just when your feet get wet. And Florida was like a little too hot for me. You know, it's like I haven't really found the just right bowl of porridge yet when it comes to the ocean. You know, it's like it's always been... I don't mind it a little bracing, and I don't mind it like a little warm. Hawaii, I think, was perfect, but it's not exactly convenient, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Hawaii because my friend just told me that he heard a lot of feedback about the Big Island of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Supposedly has very reasonably priced houses. So who knows? I may have a trip there, too, to check. Yeah. Yeah. So... But still, it has to be good for the tourists, you know, the hospitality industry, and I'm not sure that it is completely. A lot of people go to the Big Island.
Do you have a lot of static?
Yeah, I hear some static.
I'm getting it. I think it's the radio station trying to tell us we're being too nasty.
Wow. I've never had that static before, so I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's one of our phones.
Maybe someone's calling in. Maybe it's one of the phones. Yeah, that could be it.
I feel like you're, like, reporting from a hurricane.
Hey, Grant, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
it stops when Grant talks, so Grant needs to talk more.
Grant, you need to talk more because it stops when you talk.
Oh, it might be Grant's line because he's breaking.
Yeah, I think it's Grant's phone because it dropped him while he was talking. While he was on, it dropped him and he had to call back. So it could be his phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But
anyway, it's on now.
Yeah, there it is. There it is gone. And Grant's still with us, so that's good. Yay.
That sounds good.
right. Well, you know, this has really been fun. I usually play like songs and a lot of commercials and things, but I just enjoyed just talking to you guys. That's why I didn't play anything else today. But I do have one song, not right now, but before we go, I thought it would be appropriate to play at least one New Year's song. So I'll do that right before we go. But I did want to mention we do have about 15 minutes or so still left. So again, if anybody wants to call in, just call in 646-478-3380, or you can call the toll free number 1-888-238-8575. So you still have 15 minutes. If you're listening and you'd like to call in, don't be shy.
I think we need to give a shout out to Linda, because she posted that she's got a bad head cold. So I'm sure that's why she didn't call.
Yeah, definitely, Linda. We hope you feel better. We're sure that you're listening, because I know you said you would be. So yeah, we hope you feel better and you can be with us next week. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, like I said, we do have less than 15 minutes left now. Is there anything else going on? Enzo, do you have anything going on as far as with your performances and stuff?
No, I'm going to do something. I'm coming back right before Mardi Gras. I'm going to do like a little 10-minute thing. It's actually not from the show that you saw. It's the new series set in New Orleans. I'm going to do like 10 minutes of that at, God, it's terrible that I can't even remember the name, but I know it's on Mardi Gras and it's in San Francisco. I'll have just come back from New Orleans at that point. It's like whatever, February 12th, I think it is. And that's really the only thing. I hardly ever perform anymore, but,
right.
Maybe a couple times a year now. Cause I'm back and forth every 6 weeks.
Well, we always like your
video
clips.
What type of shows do you perform in, Enzo? Do you do Broadway type work or what?
It's a soul. Why don't you explain it, John? Because I don't know that I can. I'm so.
It's a one man. He does like one man shows. He has based on his real life. And,
oh, great!
Yeah, like real stories that's happened to him, and it's very interesting because he does it in a way, where he does multiple voices, to portray each of the different characters. So
excellent.
Yeah, and he's a great singer too. I don't know if you've seen any of his clips that he posts, where he's singing, but he does a great job with that too. So.
Well, I'll have to look you up, Enzo, and befriend you so I can see these.
Yeah, I don't know. My director just became really famous. His name is Kamal Bell, and he has a new series on FX that's kind of a political comedy, a little bit like The Daily Show. I mean, not really, but it's like a sort of edgier kind of Daily Show, and he was the director of my show, and he does... it's theater, but it's designed for people that have seen a lot of films. So, like, when you do the stage, you designate certain areas of the stage for certain things. Like, when you do flashbacks, you go to a certain part. And it's not standard from piece to piece, but, when you watch movies, you know that when there's a long shot, there's a certain thought process that an audience has.
Right.
And so he does that. Like, not everyone does the same thing, but you do have to set up the laws of your stage as far as when you're going to do flashbacks, you go stage left and the lighting does this, and that's how it's possible for the people to follow you. Because I'm playing like three or four characters at the same time most of the time, usually like talking to each other. So there's a lot of stuff you have to do physically, and then as far as the stage is broken down to be able to carry that off. But the show ran for 2 years in San Francisco, and then I did 2 summers off Broadway in 2009 and 2010, and it did pretty well. It was a lot of work.
Great.
Still,
great.
Yeah, I enjoyed. I had the pleasure.
Thank you, John.
Of seeing the show twice.
That. Yeah, it's a lot to go out and see stuff. I mean, and at that time the economy had just slowed down, there was just everyone was like staying home watching YouTube and not going out for that period of time. So it was a time when it was really tough to get people to go out. And so I really appreciate it. And John was a really, really huge supporter and came, I think, like three times or something, or maybe even more than that.
Well,
but.
I think I forgot to tell you, Enzo, but I actually did get a couple of friends that went without me because I couldn't make it that night, but they did come and see you, and they really enjoyed your show.
That's great.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I remember seeing you out in the thing, and I would go out and try to thank everybody that that came, and it was hard because your mind is, I can't even tell, I mean, as hard as it looks to watch that show, I mean, it is so much harder to do because it's so many lines, and then you've got to be able to sing, and you've got to make sure your voice is ready. It's really hard. I'm getting worried that I'm not going to be able to do it for a lot more years because I'm kissing 50, honey, and, you know, that show, all that rolling around on the floor, and I don't want to break a hip.
Well, look at Madonna, though. The last time I saw her on that Super Bowl thing, she was, like, you know, trying to get up, and I thought that she needs a walker.
Oh, gosh. Well, I know that one time, Enzo, when I came to see you, you were really a trooper because you were so sick. You were very, very sick.
I was throwing up in a bucket, like, right before the show started. And somebody was there from the New York Times, and I was like, what am I going to fucking do? And I was like, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen. I have no fucking clue what's going to happen. And I made it through the show, and then I was even able to go. And, yeah, I totally remember that night. It was right around New Year's of, I want to say, maybe 2010 or something like that. But that was just the only time that happened where I was just horribly sick and really, really, like, had no idea what was going to happen when the lights went up. And I don't really remember the lines, but David said I pretty much did them, you know, I did stuff in the right order and stuff like that.
You know, unless you told us that you were ill, you really did a great job. I mean, it wasn't like you were sick.
Yeah.
You did awesome.
Thank you.
And I think they were recording you, too. I can't remember if that was the night that they had the camera on you.
There was a bunch. I don't think it was the sick night. I pray it wasn't. No, I would remember that. But we taped a lot because we made a lot of script cuts because that show was an hour and 45 minutes long, and it's not supposed to be longer than 90 minutes. So we kept taping it. You might have seen me taping it just because we kept making line changes to see how much we could take out of the show without it damaging, you know, because we were trying to get ready for touring, and the festivals won't let you go more than 90 minutes because the show starts every 90 minutes. Anyway, that's what that was about. So it might have been taping, but it wasn't. Like, the main one that if you go to YouTube and try to look at the show is that was, like, the summer of 2010 or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I just recently, I didn't record it, the video, but I did an audio of a comedy skit or whatever you want to call it, routine. I played it here on the show a couple of weeks ago. I think, Grant was there. Grant heard it. But one of these days, I'd like to actually try to perform that on stage just because I just want to be able to say I did it.
Nice. So this was you did it and you recorded yourself doing it?
Yeah, well, I recorded the audio. I didn't do it with a live audience. I just recorded it myself, and then I played it here on the show 2 weeks ago. It's six minutes and a half, I think. So,
that's great.
I know you're supposed to stay within 5 minutes, I think, for a routine, so I've got to cut some of it out.
Six and a half at the beginning, and then, you know, when you start to do it, my show was like when I did my reading, my show was like 2 hours and 30. I died when I realized how long it was, and I mean, so much of that show wound up on the floor. Like, so much of it, nobody that didn't go to the initial reading has ever seen. And, you know, so six and a half for something that you want to be five is really not bad, because as you started to perform it, you'd find a more concise way to move from thing to thing, and you could get that down. So that's really good. I wish I could write something so close to the end goal. But if it was five starting, it would probably wind up being three and a half. When you started doing it, because there are just things with turns of phrases and things that you'll learn how to do, and it starts to get shorter as you get more comfortable doing it. So I wouldn't worry about it being a minute and a half over. That's too little, actually.
Well, great, great. Well, thank you. Yeah, it's good to know. And like I said, I mean, they have here in San Francisco so many open mics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've gone to them, and I have to tell you, you know, I've seen some of them, and I'm like, you know what, I know I couldn't do worse than that. You know?
Where are they lately? Because I haven't been to them in a long time, but where have you been, and where are they?
Well, Punchline, you know, they're on Battery Street.
Okay.
Yeah, they have an open mic, and then there's this laundromat/cafe.
Brainwash.
It's really kind of, yeah, they have an open mic.
Right.
I actually got to see Joey Savage there, one of our mutual,
okay.
I believe she's a mutual friend of ours.
Yes.
And,
and
she was awesome. And
really?
That was the show, that was the time when I was watching it, not her performance, but some other people's performance. And I thought, you know what, I think I could do that here. You know,
oh,
I think
cool.
I could.
Yeah, you should totally do it. It's a really important thing to do. I fell into it totally by mistake. A really good friend of mine was really into stand-up, and I tried to get him to take the class with me because it was like, I don't know, it was not a cheap class. And I knew he'd love it, and I thought he'd be really good at it. He was my very best friend when I moved out here. And I said, why won't you do that? You would be great at this, and you'd love it. And I was like, and we have to do a show at the end of the class, so even if it sucks, you've done it once, and you can say for the rest of your life, I tried this. And he was like, oh, my God, I'd be too afraid. And he got in the shower and had an aneurysm, and he died probably that summer. And I remember for, like, 4 months, I remember thinking, I'm just never going to be the same anymore. Because this was, like, my kind of gay godfather. And, like, he was, like, the first person that I ever met that, like, had been in a relationship for a really long time. And he was gay, but he, like, never went to the Castro. And he had, like, weird, quirky eccentricities. He, like, had, like, 300 snakes. And, you know, he was his own weird thing. And I'd always felt like that, but I'd never met another person like that who's older than me. But anyway, he just died very, very, very suddenly. And I remember a couple months going by going, I'm never going to be the same. And I was like, you better do something because you're going to be like a bitter bitch that like nobody wants to be around because it's like I'd lost my sense of humor and everything. And I thought, you know what? Something's going to happen that's going to change everything. And the very day, because I know right where I was walking when I had that thought, I came home and I got another email from that same comedy stand-up class, and I remembered thinking, it was the last thing I wanted to do. I was barely going out of the house at this point, and I thought, you know what, I'm fucking cheap enough that if I take that class, my ass is going to show up in that class because I paid for it, even though it wasn't that expensive. And I thought, if I do this, I'm going to remember for the rest of my life I did this for Byron. And
right.
So I did the class. I was horrible at it, and I really couldn't get, because there's a certain thing where you have to write in threes and all this shit that I thought, no, I don't need to do this shit, this is bullshit. And and I did, and then like the last 2 weeks I went from like the person in class that people were like, why is he even here, and then it really kind of came together. And then what I did is I just went to places I was invited to perform, and I got invited for about 2 years, but I didn't pursue it at all. But I mean, I just remembered, I never ever wanted to be a stand-up comedian, but I remembered thinking, you know, that happened because of him, and the show later grew out of that because other people that were doing stand-up were doing stuff like that, and that was the kind of thing that I was writing. But anyway,
yeah.
I'd really support you in doing that, even if it isn't a thing that you think is a career thing. It's a skill and an experience that will lend itself to all kinds of other things that you might want
to do. Well, thank you. Yeah, I definitely will do that. And I did want to mention we're down to 1 minute left on the show. So I wanted to thank you, Scott, and Grant, and Enzo for calling in. I really appreciate it. You made this a great hour. And And this is the first time where we've just had a lot of conversation, and I didn't play anything, you know, except for those two commercials, and I love that. So I was going to play that one song for New Year's, but we don't need that. So anyways, I just want to say, if you guys get a chance, check back next Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and
I guess this is John signing out. So you guys have a wonderful evening, okay, guys?
Happy
Thanks,
New Year.
Good night, everybody. Happy New Year.
Okay,
New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And thanks again for calling in, guys. I really appreciate it. All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.